another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the birthday party of free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Why is it the birthday party of free speech? Well, because today is Michael Jackson's birthday. He would be 66 if he were alive. And if you were drawing up a guest list for the Michael Jackson birthday party, who would you invite? Well, I know the first person I would invite would be former Louisiana Representative Dr. David Duke. Dr. Duke, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Patrick.
You like Michael Jackson, don't you?
Oh, Michael Jackson was a great spokesman for our people.
Okay, well, you can go ahead and talk about anything now.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, open-minded people, wherever you live across the United States of America and the world, this is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. You can find our archives at Human Rights Radio, our HR Radio, HRRADIO.net. And you can also go to DavidDuke.com, and you go to the radio show, and you can click on that, and it has all the shows by date. And you can find them and listen to shows, and you can also share links to those shows if you particularly like them, for your friends and your relatives and your family. Dr. Slater, you had a great show with me yesterday. Today we're going to do a fantastic show and some of the more basic issues that are important. Now, as people know, and by the way, Doctor, welcome to the show first off. Thank you so much for being with me again. It was a great show yesterday.
It was, and it'll be a great show today too.
We will. Okay, so here's a very important issue, and even though Dr. Slattery came from a left background, he would be more, more equivalent, or there'd be greater equivalence today with some of the right positions, like the anti-immigration, as well as different issues, you know, the trade policies, even though they may have some leftist positions, and other positions such as war, which can be left or right. The right traditionally in America was very anti-war. Taft was said that after the Second World War, he said he didn't want to see an American empire. He wanted to see America first country, that he wanted to see America dedicated to the specifics and the specific characteristics of America. In fact, he opposed even the Nuremberg trials because he saw those trials as not justice. And he saw really on the horizon this, I think, Zionist power. He exposed the fact that some of the Germans were tortured by Americans, but they're not really Americans, run by people like Henry Kissinger as part of that stuff, and these Jews who led the Nuremberg trials. There were amazing judges in America that were opposed to that. Now, I'm saying this not because I'm trying to defend the National Socialists. What I'm trying to do is say to you folks is that all is not good in what we might say. Something's rotten in Denmark. We're not talking about Denmark, but we're talking about America.
I think you could say it for Denmark too.
Yeah, some things are going wrong in Denmark. But you know, it's all under the vast influence of this massive global Jewish media and the power of America to exercise economic blackmail and other things upon us. But what we want to talk about today is how they manipulate our cause. Now, one of the most famous quotes that I grew up reading about was a quote by Vladimir Lenin, the Jewish communist, and he was a Jewish communist. He identified himself as a Jew, and most people don't even know that today. That's a good example of how they can hide the true facts of history. Lenin was Jewish. He identified his family as Jews. They spoke Yiddish in their family. The family members themselves all swore and sworn affidavits that Lenin always identified himself as a Jew and as a Jewish family. At the same time, he pretended to be Russian. And then he would give speeches talking about how great Jews were. Thank God for Jews, because other than that, we wouldn't have this Soviet Union. A Soviet Union, by the way, that killed 20 to 30 million Christians. Even Anne Applebaum admits millions killed by these people who ran it. And there's no question that the people dominated the Soviet Union. But the quote that Lenin is known for, or one of the quotes he's known for, which is very powerful, is he said that we will lead the opposition to defeat. Now, there's even a day that goes by, Doctor, and you and I don't talk about the so-called neocons, which is short for neoconservatives. And the neoconservative movement was really not conservative. it had some conservative prospects because some people identified conservatives as being totally for, you know, big corporations, unlimited money, all that kind of stuff, when the truth is a lot of conservatism was populist. Secondly, conservatism in America before the Second World War was anti-war. A conservatism, good examples is Lindbergh, the great aviator, hero in America, who fought very hard to keep us out of the Second World War, which I think was a disastrous war in many, many ways. America came out in some ways ahead, but we didn't come out ahead really, because it really cemented in the Jewish hegemony. And because of that Jewish hegemony in America and the Jewish power structure that they created and the power structure that they maintained, they did a lot of terrible things around the world. They got our people in more wars and more wars and more wars. Instead of making peace with Russia, we got into more of a hostile situation, the possibilities of nuclear wars. And then later, when the Russian people inside what was the government of Russia, Soviet Union, they overthrew the Jewish power structure, Russia then became our enemy. They weren't their enemy during the 1930s. They were in the favored nation status, I think, for many years, the Roosevelt administration. But once the Russians started overthrowing the Jews, they became enemies of America. And rather than being friends with Russia, they became enemies. But there's many other aspects of what's called neoconservatism. I'm sorry for the long introduction, Patrick, but I'm almost finished. So I want to point out what's also going on here. So Jews have already had a subverting influence in the left, obviously, among socialism and communism. They were always going to have heavy Jewish influence. And we've seen the Jewish, more liberal, leftist, socialist-oriented Democratic Party be as much warmongers as Republicans, especially in recent times. But the Republicans were more against these wars, which you see that reflected some with the paleo-conservatives and since people like myself and Patrick Buchanan and others. It's important for us to understand for a moment that the way you can defeat your enemy the most effectively is by subverting the message. So they gave us a message, and I mean that the National Review is a good example of that, where originally the party was very much the Republican Party supported, and different conservatives, by the way, and many Democrats as well, all decent Americans, supported the Restrictive Immigration Act that simply didn't want to discriminate against other people coming to America, but it wanted to maintain the heritage of the country, which I think most people all over the world maintain. Is there anybody out there really that doesn't believe this? I think that most Turks want to keep their country Turkish. I think most Iranians want to keep their country Iranian. I think most Chinese want to keep their country Chinese and preserve it. I think most Japanese feel the same. I think this is a totally no-brainer. I mean, it's something that people have to understand. But this is not the way they got control over America. They wanted, before, in the 1920s, they realized we were getting this influx of these millions of Jews from Eastern Europe. And they were, in many ways, Marxist. They had very different values than the American people did. And the American people, including Republicans and Democrats, band together and did the immigration restriction issues. Because the truth is that just as the Palestinians had massive immigration of Jews into Palestine, which were only by the way, by the time of the Balfour Declaration, I just saw a thing today, a history documentary talking about the population. The Balfour Declaration was probably between 2 and 5% Jews in Palestine. And the truth is that Jews, like 2% of America, I mean, you can't make it up. But the Jews became a really powerful minority in taking over the media. So what's called so-called neoconservatism was created by a Jewish Bolshevik. And then there's no other way to put it, Bolshevik communist supporter of Leon Trotsky. And in fact, they loved Leon Trotsky. In fact, it's all part of their mythology. It's all part of their heritage. They have these meetings where they think about the good old days when Leon Trotsky was around and the Jews were, you know, controlling the Soviet Union. And then, of course, Trotsky got overthrown, or not overthrown, but he lost out in the battle for power to Stalin. And then later the war came, and then during the war, certain forces were unleashed where Russians took over the country. So this was an approach, right, that they developed as a way to divide and conquer and control the American political system. So what they wanted was they knew that as far as immigration is concerned and all these other factors, the Jewish left could be controlled by them. the problem was these conservatives, which Jews were not naturally attracted to, and they wanted to make conservatives think that immigration is a good thing, not a bad thing. Jews specifically, even like a perfect example is Rosenbaum, you know, the famous libertarian leader. You can't make it up. Supported the idea that, oh, the race doesn't mean anything, and the societies shouldn't even have good government buildings. And yet she herself supported the Jewish state of Israel. At the same time, she was teaching conservatives or right-wingers to be more just individualistic.
And when our founding are you fathers, talking about Ayn Rand? Is that who you're talking
Ayn
about?
Her, you
used her birth name as opposed to her adopted name.
Yeah. And that's interesting that people, 9 out of 10 or 99 of them don't even know her birth name. And when you understand her birth name and you understand the message she taught a message that was going to weaken Europeans, because Jews have always been ethnocentric, and she supported the rise of the state of Israel and Zionism. And it's really, really, and yet that would seemingly go against everything she preached in terms of individuality, rather than race and culture and all the rest of the things that she believed there's a collective, you know, that's terrible because it's collective. But anyway, the point is, and I don't want to go too, belabor this too long, but so they tried to infiltrate the conservative groups and tell people the only issue is economics. And we got to have, you know, free money. We got, you know, basically we need capital, unrestrained capitalism, unrestrained the power of the corporations, because I think they felt that they could gain control over those institutions, unrestrained policies that way. And that's what conservatism really was. But at the same time, they were against the Christian values of the country. They were against the family values of the country. They were certainly in favor of this international point of view, this globalism, which is certainly not conservative points of view. And so by doing that, they thought they could influence Europeans. And they decided that they would take the conservatives and tell the conservatives that we've got to support Israel. And they really launched a very organized campaign to change the Christian churches by their control of some of the media and the new rise of the cable television networks. And they didn't let those Christian preachers get on there unless they gave them the Christian Zionist point of view. And they did all these things to kind of hijack traditional people, because the Christian church was never really pro-Israel. And in fact, in many ways, it was always considered anti-Semitic by Jews. And there's thousands of books by Jews about how anti-Jewish Christianity is. But they wanted to present to our people that if you're a good Christian, you got to support Israel and you got to support Jewish interests, even though it's Jewish interests that most Christians revile and don't like in terms of the Hollywood morality that they preach and the values they preach and the corruption and the porn and all the other kind of cultural manifestations that they possess. So that was a kind of long introduction, but I would like you to take that from there. I'm just going to hold my tongue for a little while. And I want you to take that and show how and illustrate to people from your knowledge, from your point of view, including a left or right, whatever you want to do it, how that they also were going to change conservatism into globalists, how they were going to change us into multiculturalists, and how that they were absolutely going to subvert us and tell people. And at the same time that they changed the demographics and demonized white people and then tried to use them as a weapon politically, at the same time, they knew the resistance to that would be something that they could use. And this is what they've done in Europe and America right now. It's going on right now. They know that people are opposed to this massive immigration, like the killing of the three young girls in Britain the other day. And he wasn't even a Muslim, by the way. But yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, there's a lot there to unpack. There's two things I want to address in that regard. One, briefly, you mentioned controlled opposition at the beginning. And, there's a couple of different meanings of control. There's the way a puppet is controlled, where strings are actively pulled and, you got the hand up inside the head and the arms, like Mr. Rogers with his puppets, and that's one form of control where, you're actually orchestrating the movements of the puppet. The other is, you can control something by corralling it, by putting it in an enclosure, by
Is influence a good way? Describe it. In other words, you got control on one side and influence.
influence too. That, you know, you could put in that too, but like you can control something, even if it's something that really wants to get out, you can control it by erecting fences, barriers, just limiting it. Now, with regards to controlled opposition, so you've got, you know, someone like Ben Shapiro, for instance, Levine, what's the guy's name? Something Levine, who, the great one who's on talk radio. You got these
great
these
ones, yeah.
who are leaders in the conservative movement. Okay, so that is certainly controlled opposition. Well, they don't even need to be controlled. I mean, they're the puppet masters themselves. Or you got people who, like maybe William Buckley back in the day, or Sean Hannity today. William Buckley, obviously, a lot more articulate and eloquent. But these are people who are probably controlled through a lot of money. I mean, Sean Hannity makes big, big money shilling for the Jews. So there's that. But there's one other.
He was much smaller in terms of his audience than Tucker, but he didn't get fired, did he?
He didn't get fired, but, you know, he's got
he didn't get fired because he went along with their narrative, the neocon narrative.
Well, he had the second biggest audience on their TV cable shows, but he also has a very large daytime talk radio show. But at any rate, there's another form of what you could call controlled opposition, where people who don't think of themselves as being controlled or don't want to think of themselves as being controlled actually echo the narratives of the controlled opposition because they don't know any better, because they're not exposed to more sophisticated and freer and uncontrolled information and narratives, like the type that you've been talking about your whole career, we've been talking about on this radio show for the past dozen years. And I have examples of that. I talked about that on my Friday show, so if anybody wants to hear, on the Friday show, it was go to republicbroadcastingarchives.org and you can find my Friday show. Go down the list, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. And the example, one example I raised was, you hear this from Tucker, and I'm not saying Tucker could be controlled opposition one way or another, or not, depending on.
I assume he tried to control him for a long time.
Yeah, but he and a lot of other people will talk about mass immigration. Why is what do they say is the reason for mass immigration? They'll say the Democratic Party is importing voters so that they can have permanent electoral power. And that's just false. The Democratic Party is not important. They're not powerful. They're not in a position to do this. The Democratic Party as an institution isn't important. I mean, there are a lot of important politicians who are Democrats. But the thing is, elections can be fraudulently faked much, much easier through, mail-in voting and things like that.
Very quick point on that one issue that you just stated, a very quick one, all right, which kind of illustrates that, what you just said. I'll give you an example of what you said. You know, you said, oh, well, the Democrats are doing it. Well, yeah, but these same Democrats and these same Republicans are out there telling us that, oh, the Democratic Party was against immigration. The Democratic Party were the real racists, right? And that's true. The Democrats, and especially the Solid South, was Democratic, and they certainly had the same positions that we had about immigration. And yet this goes totally counter to this narrative they do. That's how they can say any lie they want. And I just wanted to point that out. Isn't it interesting, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the thing. If the Democratic Party as an institution back in 1960 had a very large element of what have been called Dixiecrats, the Solid South. Yeah. There were conservative Democrats.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Had a very large element of what have been called Dixiecrats, the Solid South. Yeah. There were conservative Democrats, and they were very important in the Democratic Party as an institution. Because there was no effective Republican opposition to them in the South, in Congress, committees, whenever you had a Democratic majority and you had Democratic chairman of committees, they were almost always from the South because they had seniority. So they tended to be the chairman of committees. If you ever watch old movies or anything and they're showing proceedings in Congress, the chairman always has a thick Southern accent because that was really true. But
I remember the Rankin Committee, and I remember all these other committees of, you know, people trying to defend the heritage of the country. And again, I've got to make a point here. Defending the heritage of a country, a population, America was almost, not quite, but almost 90% European for most of the 20th century. And the idea that a people would want to preserve their status in the country that they were 90% population of is kind of normal, isn't it?
What yes, it is normal. It is normal. And
for all you mean, not just white people. That's not some sort of special trait of white supremacy, is it? I mean, it's a trait of every people. I don't care whether you're talking about Ethiopians or Hutu or Tutsi or whatever you want to talk about around the world. It's a common trait. And it's not the only time I think that gets bad is when people start killing each other, murdering each other. And I think that is also exacerbated by allowing massive immigration of very different people into the same geographic area that have certain conflicting religions or values or racial backgrounds or interests. Does that make sense?
It does. And if you go back to, say, the debates over the 1924 Immigration Act, and I'm not even talking about 65, I'm talking about 24. 100 years ago, Kevin MacDonald quotes this in the Culture of Critique. There was a senator or representative from California, and he was saying, look, I don't oppose Asian immigration because I think the Asians
are dirty or lazy or immoral or stupid. I oppose it because they're going to be competing economically with the people I represent. And I represent the people who are here now, and their interests will be adversely affected if we have large-scale immigration from other areas. So, I mean, that's not hate-filled. That's normal. But anyway, I just want to finish the point on the controlled opposition, and in particular, the idea that Democrats, it's the Democrats importing voters. No. It's the Jews importing replacements for white people. So some people, Tucker has gotten to the point where he's willing to talk about whites being replaced as being an objective, not simply permanent power for the Democratic Party, which is retarded because the Democratic Party is an institution. It changes. Like, 60, 70 years ago, the Democratic Party was actually much more conservative. It's a completely different party now, and it's going to be a completely different party a generation from now in unpredictable ways. So nobody cares about the Democratic Party. But who's doing this? It's not the Democratic Party. Who leads the Democratic Party?
Well, there's a lot of Democrats, and Jews control the Democratic Party too.
But you can't say it's not
Democrats. But the Democrats are more for open borders than Republicans, correct?
The Democratic Party is just one institution that is largely dominated by Jews, and it's not even that important compared to the press, compared to the tech companies, compared to a lot of other things. It's not that important.
That's true.
I bet 99% of the people couldn't even name the chairman of the Democratic Party. His name is Jamie Harrison. He's a black guy. I think he's in his late 40s. I can't even picture what he looks like because he's not important, because his institution is not important. It's Jews who are importing third worlders to take your place, not to vote. Why would you put up with 4 years of whatever you have to do with welfare and everything else just because maybe they'll go out and vote for you? That's retarded. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just retarded. But the reason people say it, and good people will say this, but they say it because they don't know any better. And they don't know any better because voices like ours are censored so thoroughly. So all they see immigration, they don't like immigration, and then they hear Tucker Carlson or somebody else say that the Democrats are importing voters, and so they'll go with it. But that's not – I mean, Tucker says that because he's afraid
to talk about Jews. It's not the full story at all.
He's afraid to talk about Jews, and most people are afraid to talk about white replacement. So this is just kind of a kosher thing. And so that is an example of us being led – of them leading the opposition to defeat. Because these are untrue narratives, they're weak narratives, they're incorrect, and the narrative is a kosher narrative. It's really a controlled opposition narrative. So that's that. And then we can talk about the Russia-America relations and the neocons. I don't know if you want me to go for it now or if you have some...
I want to go further into the subversion of the right wing, or so the so-called nationalist right. Because, so let's just talk about some of the basics here that I hope people who are like us around the world, Europeans, get an understanding of this, because here's the situation, folks. I'll just put it out plainly, and anything that you want to add to this and as we go along, feel free to interrupt at any time to add whatever choice things you'd like to say, Doctor, is that the thing we got to realize is the responsibility for what's called the lack of enforcement or constitutional enforcement, which is required by the Constitution to fulfill the laws. And we have laws against immigration. We have laws in the books to enforce the laws of the United States. We take an oath to do that. I even took an oath to do that when I served in the House of Representatives, in Louisiana. It's a state office. But it's like, you've got to understand, I think it's vital to understand that it's not the Muslim who changed our laws.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilajit, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilajit is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilajit makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
But it's like, you know, you've got to understand, I think it's vital to understand that it's not the Muslim who changed our laws. And the truth is that the way people are, if they're in a bad situation, by the way, one reason why people are in a bad situation, like these Palestinians and a lot of Lebanese and a lot of the Egyptians and a lot of these other people in the Middle East who've suffered from the wars of Zionism and the wars like in Iraq, the wars that we've had, and other wars overseas, Vietnam and all these other things, we've had a lot of people that suffered a great deal because of these American policies. Now, if they have an opportunity, and they're poverty-stricken, they don't have much money, they don't have much to eat, they don't have a good roof over their heads, they have very little educational opportunities, and they have the opportunity to come to the United States or to Europe, and the door is open for them, and they got lots of benefits to do it. You know, it's not something necessarily we want on a massive scale, of course, but you've got to understand why people would take advantage of that. I mean, most people would. And the real problem of what's going on here is not the fact that these people are taking advantage of this, is the fact that they're able to take advantage of it, that the Jews realize that if they divide and conquer the country, in other words, if they change the democratic, or this the democracy is the better way to put it, but it is a democratic split too as well with people. And what you're doing is you're trying to, in a way, get these people into the country and then telling them how racist white people are. And this racism, this anti-whiteism, is not only going out in the United States of America and in England and France and Germany. It's globally, it's in the Western countries, even, but it's not by Western media. There is some Western media involved in it too, but it's overwhelming because the Jewish take over that media. So they're demonizing white people, and they're creating a lot of racism around against white people around the world because it's conflated white people in the countries with American policies and these war policies and these horrible, insane policies throughout the world. Now, these policies are not good for America. They cost America trillions of dollars, amazingly. They cost American blood. They cost a lot of hatred against America. But this is not only in terms of a global anti-whiteism, because obviously that also hurts American companies, true American companies that want to do trade overseas. They can't sell their products as well because people are angry against America because of their support, for instance, for Israel today, for their support because of what they're doing to Iran, what they're doing to these other countries, how they're trying to bully other countries all over the world, how they have a currency situation that is a disadvantage to all the other currencies in the world and an advantage to our currencies. However, it's not really an advantage to us, I think, either. I think it's an advantage to the Goldman Sachs of the world and the big banks of the world. But then there's another level of this, and I'm trying to get deep into this issue. There's another level of this which is really vital, and that is that they see the aspects of the change in our society with the massive immigration of non-Europeans into their countries, where they see their streets changing, their cities changing, their culture changing. They see increased amounts of crime. Look at the amount of crime from the Mexican illegals is enormous. It's almost, I think, almost one third of our prisons, our federal prisons today, are illegal aliens, and they're not in there for crossing the border illegally. They're in prison.
And I just want to add one thing, because sometimes you'll hear, well, actually, immigrants commit less crime on average than native-born people. But of course, you know, you specified the Mexican immigrants. And so you have some subsets of these immigrants, you know, like the El Salvadorians, these gangs come in and the Venezuelans now commit a lot of crime. But then you have other immigrant groups like East Asians or Indians who commit very, very little crime. And so that waters down their figures. And then for the native born, well, you've got a lot of native born blacks who commit easily five times as much violent crime as native born whites. And then, of course, there's some native born. Yeah. And so. To simply compare native-born with non-native-born is not that misses the point.
It does miss the point because, you know, a lot of these things, it's the one unmentionable subject. Jews can put in, Jews are a race in their publications, and they can talk about themselves as a race and probably the most genetically similar race on earth, even no matter if they're in 100 different countries. They're like fifth cousins to one another, and they have a right to preserve their heritage and fight for their interests and be ethnocentric with their political organizations and all the other organizations. But if Europeans and our nations want to just simply protect themselves, like we said, all people want to do, I don't care whether you go to Brazil and you talk about Brazilians or whether you talk about people in Ecuador or people in Uganda or people wherever they are, people tend to want to, you know, to celebrate their own heritage, their own people, and preserve it. And it's a natural thing. But what the Jews have done so cleverly is what they're saying. So they create this immigration without the Jewish power structure. Would you agree with that statement? That's a pretty hardcore statement. Without the Jewish domination propagandizing for open borders, for instance, from Hollywood, which it also infects not just America, but this message is given to the entire white world and the whole world, by the way, because they don't care about any other country other than their own country of Israel and Jewish interests. And they see massive immigration as a way to disguise their own presence and power within the country. But the point is that it's amazing when you think about that that they've created, without the Jewish influence, promoting immigration both intellectually and in academia, in media, in government, and the political funding for those policies they're doing and non-enforcement of our laws as well as changing the laws about immigration. This immigration catastrophe, this apocalypse, which is really what's happening to Europe, along with low white birth rates, which are also reflected by Jewish mentality and Jewish policies and moralities, like LGBTQism and all the rest of it. Without that, there wouldn't be, I don't believe, this existential crisis for Europe.
And that's the correct way of putting it. Without Jewish power, this would not be happening. So somebody could say, oh, well, not all Jews support it. No. And that's, you didn't say all Jews support it. And somebody could say, oh, well, there are other people who support it. That's true. There are other people who support it. But that's not what you said. You said without Jewish power, it wouldn't be happening. And that's the thing. So Jews can't do it by themselves. And not all Jews are doing it. But the Jewish power structure as an entity, without the influence that you were talking about through media and academia and political campaign fundraising and this and that, it wouldn't be happening. The non-Jews who would be working on it, they wouldn't win. They would lose. And you would have restrictive immigration policies. And that's a fact.
So, all right. Now, understanding these basic premises, which I think we have a clear understanding of. It's just amazing to look, and there's some very good videos, like Mr. O'Brien did and a few other videos, and these are done by liberals primarily. But they point out that, for instance, like well, a good example is what's going on in Britain right now. Now they've got these riots going on. Now, the riots were about the fact that immigration, massive immigration of non-Europeans into Great Britain, has had a direct and I think in many ways a negative impact on the standard of life for Great Britain and the aspects of life that people think are important in their country, including massive crime rates. For instance, Mark Collett talks a lot and talked a lot, and there's been many videos about the grooming gangs. They had grooming gangs where thousands and thousands of British young girls, including underage girls, were lured into these prostitution rings. They were exploited, harmed, raped in many ways, at least legally raped, you know, harmed and hurt, some of them even killed by these foreign gangs, which wouldn't have existed except for immigration. You can understand why people have that policy. Now, the case of the three girls in Britain who stabbed three girls to death, young girls, I think 7, 8, 9 years old, that type of age. And he was not a Muslim, actually, but he was from, I guess, what was the country he was from? Was a black African
his,
country.
His parents were from Rwanda.
Rwanda, yeah, that's pretty black.
He was born somewhere in the UK, but his parents were from Rwanda. And so they want to say, he's Welsh or he's English, but come on.
So there's, you know, there's no flaw, but there's no aspect, the Muslim aspect here, but that was put up. Now, the guy that supported all this and these riots, which, by the way, the riots are ended up backfiring, you know, obviously against the British people, because it's like, you know, it's like Andrew Ingram says, you know, they call them a stabber, you know, it's protecting the stabbers, you know, to defend the stabbers, not the victims, right? But if anybody that can't see that immigration has caused a great deal of issues for people, then I think they're a little bit deaf, dumb, and blind. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have some.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Maybe stabber rights are human rights. Did you ever think of that?
That's right. I don't think so, but I think that's a perversion of human rights. But it's like people have a right to preserve themselves. I think it's kind of a basic human right, the same way that we say ethnic cleansing is a human rights crime, but that it's a war crime, right? We say it's a war crime trying to reduce the birth rate of a people. In fact, when the guy that invented the term genocide, Raphael Pinkin, I think his name is. I can't think of his name. It's just on the tip of my tongue. Sorry, folks. But
that's homework. That's people's homework.
Okay, that's good homework. When he talked about what happened
in
Ukraine,
Lincoln or something like that.
It's Lincoln. That's right. Okay. So when he talked about this purposeful starvation by Jews, by the way, it was Lazar Kakanovich, who was actually the first secretary of the Communist Party years before. Then he became the deputy premier or the deputy secretary under Stalin. He orchestrated this mass murder of 7 to 11 million Ukrainians. Another good example of alien groups that have certain desires and certain interests, while that can sometimes conflict with the native peoples, right? But anyway, so he came back and helped organize this. And Limpkin said they purposely were reducing the population of the Ukrainians from 80% to 60%, which is basically very similar to what happened to America. We went from 90% to probably less than 60% today, right? In a shorter, in a longer period of time, but still, when I was up to a senior in high school, senior in college, we were still, you know, in the high 80s in terms of percentages of America. And now we're probably below the 60% level. But what they're doing is they don't understand, or these people, they wanted to tell people that the real problem, the reason why these conditions are going on and what we got to fight is the Muslims. But the truth is, well, we got to fight the people that control our government that cause these situations, and also try to get a decent solution for those Muslims who are here to maybe want to go back home in a free country. Eventually, a lot of them do. I'd like to. And to find a way that we can deal with this in a way that will work out the best for both people in terms of preserving our people and having their rights as well to be preserved. And I've been around the world, and I've met so many people who are refugees from what's happened because of these American wars. And I always ask the question that when I give a talk, you know, I ask, so I'm in a different country than their home country. And I'm asking them and say, well, let me ask you a question. How many of you here from whatever, Palestine? How many people here from Egypt? How many people here from the conditions that have been screwed up in Lebanon and are, you know, was part of what is today the land of Israel, that you can't have a free society? How many of you would like to go back home? And almost universally, they get up almost as a mass and say, we'd love to. We'd love to be able to go back home. We'd love to be able to make some money here and take it, and with your aid, we can go back home. There's ways to solve these ethnic problems and hatreds without killing each other. And I do think the only thing that keeps us from coming to some sort of a decent resolution to any of these things is the people who control our media. They were continually, in fact, in terms of the stabbing thing, the people they villainized was the white people who opposed it. Now, I agree that no white people should go burn down some motel or something that these people are staying there and try to kill people who are immigrants to Great Britain. At the same time, certainly there has to be a solution where all people have a right to live and thrive in their own societies, and something that goes for the good of all humanity and not just certain cores of humanity. So the Jewish question to me is the critical thing. Now, they specifically finance people like Tony Robinson, perfect example. They have these groups like Ezra Vance Group in Canada, and these Jews admittedly have said to each other in their own publications that they want to get people, you know, the traditional right is against the Jews because they knew Jews were undermining society. They were pro-communist. They were against family. They were against Christianity. They were against the values of Europe, all these other things. And they hated the European people, and they considered people racist and anti-Semites. And they even often say that they like the Muslims better than the Europeans, even though they really don't. They don't like any people other than those. Look what they're doing to the Muslims right now and the other, even other Arab Christians. And they've had a hard time, too, because of these Jews. But what they're really doing is they're trying to make sure that Europeans, and it's vital, if the Palestinians want to survive, if the other people of the world want peace, there's no way to do that unless taking out, you know, removing Jewish power and tyranny that exists in the United States of America. And that's exactly what Jews are trying to, you know, to basically preserve, is their tyranny. And the way they do that is by demographic change. And the way they do that is by demonizing white people and then doing a divide and conquer strategy, because most white people and most Europeans, you know, they're not really interested in trying to exploit or hurt, you know, non-white people. They just want to have a decent life in their own country. So what's your thoughts, Doctor?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts and not a lot of time, but one of the last things you said was that Jews are trying to change the demographics of our countries, our country, the United States, and then pretty much every white country. And also, you can see it starting in Japan, in Korea. So you're seeing it going beyond just the white countries. And it is a Jewish project. And the thing is, I'm somebody who has been aware that there's something going on with the Jews since I was a kid, really. Something going on. And as early as, say, the 1984 election, if you ask me, how in the world did I start with the Jesse Jackson campaign? And I started with the Jesse Jackson campaign because of the Palestinian issue, because he had met with Yasser Arafat. And, you know, 1984, he was in a room talking to some people, and it was before the New York primary, and he'd been getting death threats because of meeting with Arafat, because of having support for Palestinian causes, and he referred to New York as Heimetown, right? So, I mean, I've had a lot of awareness of the Jewish domination of American foreign policy going back to the 80s. And then going back to the early 1990s, when I started my PhD program, and realizing, oh my goodness, half of my professors are Jewish, and more than half of the authors that they're assigning me to read are Jewish. What the heck's going on here? And I started listening to, and that's when I became obsessed with Jewish power. I started listening to Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, out of, I think it's out of Charleston, South Carolina. I listened to one of your old associates, Colonel Bo Greitz, He had a radio show there. And I read Justus Mullin's book and eventually stumbled across you. That took a while. But even with all the awareness I had of Jewish domination of American foreign policy.
She was more like beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who dance on the floor and around. She said, I am the one who dance on the floor and around.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I read Justus Mullin's book and eventually stumbled across you. That took a while. But even with all the awareness I had of the Jewish domination of American foreign policy, which a lot of people have, a lot of people who are out there demonstrating against the genocide, they're aware of that. Even with that awareness, even with an obsession for studying Jewish power, having full awareness of how many Jews are in the media, how many Jews are running major academic institutions, it still wasn't until I started collaborating with you that I understood this really, really fundamental fact that it's not simply they're trying to be powerful because they want to be on top, but that they are specifically trying to destroy whites as a cohesive entity because whites potentially pose a challenge to them. And that's
exactly. They can't control the West and the power of the they can't control the West, the economic power of the West, the military power of the West, the technological power of the West, all these things and the influence of the West, unless they control and they replace the Europeans by themselves. And that's exactly what they've done, just like they replaced the Palestinian population in Palestine. They didn't have to do that in America. They couldn't do that. It was just too many whites in America to do that. But they could replace the oligarchs of the country. And they did replace the oligarchs in the country. And they still do that. And this is why I try to explain to people around the world all the time, is the reason why the Palestinians are going through what they're going through, and the people in Lebanon, and the people who are criminally suppressed in Israel, and the people in all these other countries have had these issues. Yemen, we just keep going on and on and on, and all these wars and what's going on in Ukraine. This is because of Jewish power. This is what we got to address. I know we're almost out of time. What time did you actually time it from the actual beginning of the show itself? Do you know exactly how much time we've done?
You've got two more minutes. We're right at the 50-minute mark.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up now. But I guess it's one more time and one more opportunity to extend what we're talking about here. I don't want continual war between white people or any people, not in our own countries or anywhere in the world. At the same time, I simply believe in the right of my people to live and exist. I love the traditions and the history and the beauty and the art and the literature and the culture and the faith and the values and the human rights that Europeans have also promoted as much as any people. I'm not saying they've never committed crimes, but every people have invaded other countries. Every people have conquered other countries. Look at the Ottoman Empire. Look at what the Moors did in Spain. Look at the conquering of Sicily. We can just go on and on. Look at the Asian invasions. That doesn't make those people bad people any more than whites did certain things. But a lot of the crimes that they talk about around the world have really been crimes that have been existed or orchestrated by the Jews, who are not only destroying so much of the world and the rights of the world and causing so much blood and war and horror and degeneracy as well that's hurting all people, but they're also destroying the European peoples. And that is a massive human rights crime. And the First World War, the Second World War, all these wars, you're talking about over 100 million people that died, you know, in these wars. The other aspects of it are just as bad as well. So this is the thing we've got to communicate to. And we're doing this out of the fact that we love and respect people, not because we hate people. We want to preserve ourselves, but we want to endorse and protect the rights of all people to preserve themselves in their own land. That's it, Doctor. I guess I got to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for a great show. And
thank you, Dr. Booth.
And folks, you can go to davidduke.com, box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana. I think it was an amazing show today with some very important facts and very important ideas that we all need to embrace. And I think this is a path toward not only freedom in the future, but also peace and love. That's my dog seconding my show. See y'all later, folks. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.